potentially hundreds of thousands are still suffering from the long-term health and environmental consequences of toxic chemical defoliants used in the conflict. But perhaps the greatest toll of the war goes beyond the physical. Countless millions had their lives profoundly altered by its consequences, and many still bear its psychological scars. Nearly 800,000 Vietnamese fled their homeland immediately after the war, and millions more were internally displaced within a devastated country. As many as 500,000 were imprisoned, some even tortured, in Vietnamese re-education camps. And an entire generation grew up in Southeast Asia as witnesses to the horror of war. Its memory haunts the American mindset, too, with a legacy of political division that still echoes today. Half a century later, with the benefit of hindsight, how do we tell the story of the Vietnam War? How did this tragedy, where so many gave so much for seemingly so little, come to pass? I'm John C. McManus, professor of U.S. military history at the Missouri University of Science and Technology. And much of my own research has focused on the many ways in which ordinary people, especially American combat soldiers, have been affected by modern wars. I'm always struck by the incredible drama and tragedy that wars have visited upon normal, relatable people of yesteryear, who in the context of a different time might just as well live down the street from you or me. Many have made the mistake, both then and now, of trying to understand the Vietnam conflict in purely military terms. But to really appreciate what happened and why, you must look beyond the battles, technologies, tactics, and strategies to the complex patchwork of human motivations, decisions, triumphs, and follies that truly drove the war. There are no easy answers to this conflict, no grand explanations that make it all clear, and no individuals to whom we can cathartically assign all the praise or blame. What we have are the all-too-human stories of the ordinary men and women who became fatefully entangled in the struggle for a nation. Some of those stories are of our ordinary people who became icons of their era, thrust onto the grand stage of history. Like Ho Chi Minh, an unassuming, itinerant Vietnamese schoolteacher who fused anti-imperialist nationalism with modern communism and founded an independence movement of such potency that he became a patriotic icon for millions of Vietnamese, even those who opposed him. Or Vo Nguyen Giap, a self-taught general who built from scratch a military force that managed to outlast the finest armed forces the Western world could muster. Or Lê Duẩn, a volatile railway clerk and longtime political prisoner, whose single-minded, ruthless revolutionary fervor would consign millions of people to years of bloody conflict. Or Ngo Dinh Diem, a scholarly, incorruptible expatriate nationalist whose dynamism created a new nation, but whose political myopia also played a central role in its demise as well. Then there's Lyndon Johnson, a self-made political genius from a hard-scrabble background in the Texas Hill Country, who yearned to eradicate poverty in America, but instead found himself consumed by a war he never wanted to fight. And Richard Nixon, the intellectually brilliant son of a small-time Southern California grocer whose Quaker upbringing gave way to an unscrupulous, paranoid militancy that poisoned his relations with friend and foe alike. There's William Westmoreland, a selfless, dedicated professional soldier whose inspirational courage could not make up for a lack of strategic depth, which doomed his soldiers to winning tactical victories with no strategic results. And Creighton Abrams, a colorful, sensitive, cigar-chomping reformer whose grand vision to transform the nature of the conflict came too late and gave way to little more than a frustrating stalemate. But the war is also the story of ordinary people who never held great positions of power or became household names. Take Zung Van May, who came from a big, middle-class, anti-communist family in northern Vietnam. Her father worked as an official in the French-run imperial government and then became mayor of Haiphong after World War II. As war raged between the French and a communist-dominated insurgency called the Viet Minh, the Zung were uprooted and, at times, lived a refugee existence. Somehow, her father maintained a strict political neutrality, dedicating himself mainly to providing the stability of good governance. His family, though, continued to be buffeted by the turmoil that was engulfing Vietnam. Two of May's brothers were conscripted into the Viet Minh to fight the French. Another brother fled to France for university. Still another joined what will become the South Vietnamese Army. May's sister, Tang, became a dedicated Viet Minh partisan and later Viet Cong guerrilla,